Maria.
Stand with me as we go into the song service. Psalm 7 and verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So glad that we get to praise the Most High God. Let's go to Him in prayer as we begin the service tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for how great, how high that You are, that no matter what else happens around us, that we can always look up to You, Lord. We do pray that You would be honored and glorified in the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm saying He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, but what birthday is it?
My 16th.
Your 16th birthday. Well, isn't that something? You know who else's birthday it is today?
Richard.
Brother Richard. So why don't you come up here too, Brother Richard? How old are you, Brother Richard? Are you 16?
Sure.
Plus 10? 26 and 16. There you go. Let's sing Happy Birthday. Your birthday from the church, by the way. All right. Well, just remind the deacons, trustees, tonight following service, we have one more meeting. I'm so tired of meetings, but we have one more meeting, and hopefully this will go really quick tonight. And then next Wednesday night, we have our annual church business meeting. And we'll go through and talk about how great things were last year, and then show the budget as what we have set for the upcoming year, and then vote for those to fill places that are needed in the church. So next Wednesday night, I encourage you to be here. Also, of course, I always encourage you to be here. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, the good news is I've got my notes tonight. Last week, I looked, couldn't find them, but we were able to go ahead and preach through that anyhow. But tonight, this is very interesting. I'm thankful to have my notes because our title is Lyrics of Two Songs. Lyrics of Two Songs, Isaiah 26 and Isaiah 27. We're going to begin reading Isaiah 26, and you can just remain seated. We'll read down three, four verses here, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get into the preaching. Verse number one, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I think if we could just grasp verse 3 and verse 4, we'd have a big help in our walk with God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the time together tonight. I pray to God that you would minister to our hearts and help us to learn and to grow from your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And Lord, we pray that you just take it, drive it home in our lives, our hearts, that we might be able to serve you in a greater way. Thank you for this time together. We ask it in your wonderful name. Amen. And so the lyrics of two songs. And our first point tonight is going to be stanza one, which is Israel's Savior. Stanza one, which is Israel's Savior. These two chapters recorded in the lyrics of two songs contain Isaiah's messages of God's ultimate exaltation of Israel. God really loved his people. He was so thankful for them. And Israel, at the writing of this, loved their God. And so we see Israel's Savior. Now, you know, as we read through this tonight, as we think on this, we need to realize that if we were songwriters, which I don't know if you're a songwriter or not. I'm not a songwriter. But if we were songwriters, our music ought to be about the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen? It ought to be about the fact, you know, you talk about, you know, in the world today, it's love songs, you know. You got this love song, that love song. I love my puppy dog. I love my cow. Love my truck. Love my wife. Love my girlfriend. You know, all this Well, the greatest love song would really be about our Savior. Amen. The one who loved us enough to go to the cross of Calvary and to give His life there on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. So the greatest love song would be about our Savior. And this part of the song, we're going to look at Isaiah 26, 1 through 15. This part of the song will be sung as Israel's testimony to God during the millennium. Okay? So here we are. I think that we are really close to the rapture. I think we're really close to the rapture. Like, really close to the rapture. Like, maybe this year, hopefully this week, somewhere, it's close. It's a whole lot closer than it's ever been. After the rapture, they'll have 7 years here on this earth. We'll be gone. Three and a half years good, 3.5 years bad. Jesus will come back. We'll come with Him riding on white horses. Hallelujah. That's going to be great. He's going to set up His millennial reign. And we who are children of God, we're coming back with Him. We're going to rule and reign with Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've kind of worried about that a little bit early on. I worried about that because, you know, if I'm not careful, I go easy on people. But I finally come to realize I'm going to be perfect then. And so I'll be able to rule and reign the way God wants me to rule and reign. I won't be a pushover. You know, right now I'm a big pushover. It's really funny, you know. I came to that point in my life where I became a grandpa and I became, oh, that's kind of cute. Oh, yeah, I would have beat the tar out of my boy for that, but I'm not going to do that to my grandchild. You know, I mean, it was just this grandpa phase that I entered into. Listen, don't worry about it. When we come back to rule and reign with Christ, we'll be perfect. We'll have already been to heaven. Our minds will be His mind. We will rule and reign with no problem the correct way. You won't make the wrong call. You won't make a, you know, a big mistake. You'll just rule and way. Rule and reign the way that Christ would have you to. So it's going to happen during the millennium. And this song will be sung by Israel as part of their testimony to God during the millennium. And it will do three things, okay? Three things. First of all, it's going to thank God for His strength and peace. In that day, we'll just begin in verse number 1, go through verse number 6. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. So Israel referencing their great God. They're referencing His great strength and then the peace that's going to come by Him being here. And so, again, as we mentioned earlier, verse number 3 and verse number 4, talking about a perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed on Thee. I think it's a great way to live our life in these latter days which we find ourselves in. You know, we've got a new regime at the helm of America, and you may be for that, you may be against it. The main thing is that our peace shouldn't sway on who's sitting in the White House. Our peace is established in the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that we're just passing through. This is not our heavenly home. Can I get an amen right there? It's not our heavenly home. We're going to a place far better than this. Woohoo! I can't wait to go. I wish we could go right now. It'd be so awesome. We can meet all our loved ones and be there in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And so our peace needs to be set upon the Lord. Perfect peace that comes from Him. Now notice He said, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, if we're distracted and we're more worried about the Chiefs and we're more worried about the Royals and we're more worried about making more money and we're more worried about the job and the promotions and the titles and the accolades that we might get out there in the world, then our mind's going to be a mess all the time. We're going to be worrying about, well, why didn't I get that promotion? Why did they give that guy that title? Why didn't I get a raise? And this, that, and the other thing. But our mind needs to be stayed upon Him. Our mind needs to be focused upon Him, stayed upon Him. He is where our perfect peace is found. And it gives us here the latter part of verse 3, because He trusteth in thee. Who do you trust in? What do you trust in? Well, there's a lot of things that the world would offer us to trust in, but the truth of the matter is our trust needs to be placed in Him. And verse 4 comes back to reiterate that, where it says, trust in the Lord forever. Forever. Not once or twice, not when things are down, and when things go good, then you don't have to worry about it. No, He says forever. Always trust Him. Always trust Him. And then He says, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He is our strength. Amen. He is our help in time of need. He bringeth down them that dwell on high and the lofty city, and He layeth it low. All our enemies who would come and stand against us, God's got it. He's got it taken care of. All we need to do is trust in Him. The second thing we see is we ought to thank God for His righteous judgment. One thing about God, His judgment is righteous. Okay? Verses 7 through 11. His judgment is righteous judgment. And so, you know, there's a lot of corruption in our world today. A lot of corruption. This person over here, he's taking bribes for this. This person over here, they're taking bribes for that. This person, you know, doing bad stuff. This person doing... Listen, when it comes to God, it's a righteous judgment. It's not going to be based upon who you know and what you got and all that kind of stuff. He's just a righteous judge, and His judgment is honest and right. Verse number 7 says, the way of the just is uprightness, thou most upright. So, hey, you know what? If you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then people, when they look at your light, they ought to see uprightness. They ought to see righteousness. Thou Most High dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within will I seek thee early. And when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be so showed to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness? In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord? Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed of their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. And so we need to realize that God is in charge. He's a righteous judge. The third thing is that we can thank God for His uniqueness. For His uniqueness. Verses 12 through 15. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make the mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. Boy, isn't that something? Well, he's saying, look, we've had judges and rulers over us before, but they're dead. But you will not die. You're everlasting. They shall not live again until the judgment, but you live forever. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Kind of amazing how quick life goes by and how important we may think that we are. But I'll guarantee you within the time of a decade that your memory will be just that, a short memory of who you were. Family may look back and go, what was that guy's name? Church members may look back. You remember that guy? He used to sit over there at church. It was years and years ago. I don't know, kind of an old guy. I mean, it's kind of amazing when you die how easy it is to be forgotten. But hey, we're not living to establish ourselves here, are we? No, they can forget me the day I die. That'll be quite all right. I just don't want him forgetting me, amen? Because I'm going from here to there. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. He alone. He alone. No other idols. No other great men that have ever lived. He alone lives forever. Unlike the dead idols Israel once worshipped, He is the only true God. Unlike the men of great renown who die and are soon forgotten in decades or generations, God will never, never die and never be forgotten. That brings us to our second point, stanza 2. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? We had stanza 1, now we have stanza 2. This is entitled Israel's Suffering. Israel's Suffering. We're going to be looking at chapter 26, 16 through 18, and chapter 27, verses 7 through 11. It will speak of two things. First of all, it's going to speak of sin. In 26, 16, we read, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. And then verses 7 through 11. He has smitten him as he smote those that smote him, or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and the images shall not stand up. Yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore, he hath made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. God himself has allowed Israel suffering when they went away from him into sin. When they went into sin, God allowed them suffering and punishment for that sin. You know, it do us good to be mindful of the fact that when we get out of, when we get into sin, we get out of fellowship with God. When we get far enough out of fellowship with God, it's easy for us to fall right back into sin. It's easy for us to go back to the old way of living, to the old friends, to the old path. And that's not what God would have for us. God has a better way for us to live, child of God. God's plan is that we might seek Him, desire to walk with Him. Our feet are put on a new path. We're lifted up out of the miry clay. Our feet are established on the solid rock. And He desires that we would seek to walk with Him and to know Him. And yet many times, if we're not careful, we find people going back to the old way, going back to the old sinful lifestyle. It's just too much work to be a Christian. If I go back to the old way, I can live the old way, but listen, you're not going to be happy back in the old way. The Holy Spirit living inside of us, it no longer wants us to identify with the old way. That drinking and carousing, it's going to take a lot of it to dull the sense of the Holy Spirit that now lives inside of us. Therefore, we need to just seek to walk with God, to draw closer to Him, to push away the old way, to push away the natural man, and to desire to live for God and allow Him to live through us. And then we see the symbol in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 26. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Israel went into their sin, and because of their sin, there's a punishment for sin. And that punishment is not easy. The symbols given of a woman delivering a child. And it talks about the pain, how she cries out in the pangs of delivering that child. And it talks about the children of Israel, that they suffer in the sin. They suffer in the punishment for their sin. And it's a symbol here, a picture for them to realize they need to draw close to God and stay with Him. That brings us to our third point. Can anyone guess? Stanza 3. That's right. Very good. Stanza 3. Israel's salvation. So the third stanza of this song is Israel's salvation. It's in chapter 26, 19 and chapter 27, 12 and 13. Israel will experience two things. Okay? Going to experience two things. First of all is resurrection from the dead. Verse number 19, thy dead men shall live. Man, I am looking forward to that. This isn't all there is. I can remember as a teenager going out soul winning. We were out soul winning one night and came across another teenager. And I'm talking to him about the Lord. And I said, so what do you think happens when you die? And of course, you know, we were back in the 70s where there was a lot of weirdo ideas floating around. He said, well, he goes, I think that when we die, it'll be like man, there'll be this big unicorn. And I'm going to hop. I'm telling you, God's honest with you. And I'm going to hop on that unicorn and I'm just going to ride. I'm like, I don't know what you're smoking, dude, but that's not in the Bible. We're not going to get on a unicorn and ride. Okay. There is death that's come upon man. It will come. Death is certain. If the only way we get out of death is if we get to go in the rapture. Now, I want to be a rapture person. Amen? I'm not afraid to die because I know that when I die, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But I'd much rather just be jerked off the ground. I like riding all the rides, you know, at Worlds of Fun and all that kind of stuff. The up and down. Woo! How fun that's going to be. And so I just soon go in the rapture. I just soon be up there. But we know this, if we die, we'll live again. We will live again. When we go to the graveside and we put that body in the ground, they're not there. They're already in His presence. That body's in the ground. It's going to deteriorate and be worm food and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, we're already with Him. The dead man shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Hey, I like that. I may use that with 1 Thessalonians, verses 13 through 18. You know, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to be in His presence. When the rapture happens, the dead in Christ, the Bible tells us, will rise first. Those that are already in the grave, they're going to rise first. How's that happen? I don't know, but I believe the Bible. All that body that's decayed and everything, it's going to be perfect by the time it gets up there to be united with the soul and the spirit that's coming from heaven. That body is going to become a perfect body, but we have a promise. It's going to be raised. So we're going to be reunited with not a flesh and bone body. But I don't understand it. I'm just too simple. I'm sure some of you bright, brilliant people understand it all. I don't. But I can bank it. I can bank on it. Why? Because it's in the Word. It's there. We're going to be united with our body and our soul, our spirit. We're going to be there. And those that were dead will be alive. Together with my dead body shall they arise and awake, and sing ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Man, it's going to be a wonderful time. Then there's the restoration to the land. Verses 12 and 13, chapter 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So there's going to be that restoration to the land. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Brings us to our fourth point. I know, you all know, stanza four, right? Israel's security. Israel's security. Israel's going to enjoy two things. Chapter 26, 20 and 21, and chapter 27, 1 through 6. Israel's going to enjoy two things. First of all, it's going to enjoy protection during the Great Tribulation. Verse number 20 says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing servant, even Leviathan, that crooked servant, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." So there's going to be protection during the Great Tribulation for Israel, for God's people. And then the second thing is the productivity during the glorious millennium. Verses 2 through 6 of chapter 27. "In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Oh, let them take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them to come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit." During the millennial reign, the people of God are going to flourish. Matter of fact, they talk about the deserts being brought to life, and it'll be abundant, and it'll be blessed. Israel will be blessed as God's people. God has showered His blessing upon them. So two psalms, Isaiah 26, Isaiah 27, speaking mostly of the millennial reign for the children of Israel. We have our part in there. We can see what God has for us. And so these ought to be encouraging things. These ought to be things that would challenge us in our walk with God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the time together this evening. Lord, I pray that as we think upon the millennial reign, we think about the 1,000 years that Christ will come and set, and we who have named the name of Christ will come to rule and to reign with Him. And Lord, what a glorious thing that's going to be able to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray that as Christians right now that we wouldn't back away from living for You, but God, we'd serve You in a great mighty way. We'd put You first in our lives and in our hearts, realizing that one day we're going to rule and reign with You, Lord. And I just pray that we'd seek to know You in a better way and walk with You in a greater way. And then we pray to God for our nation, for this world in which we live. Lord, we would pray that you might even come quickly, that we anticipate going home to be with you. Lord, we just pray that your will would be done. Thank you for this time together tonight, for your word to read and study. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. If you would go ahead and scan of me, we're saying, I surrender all. God's spoken to your heart. I encourage you to come, whatever your need is tonight. Or you can pray right where you're at, however God might lead. I encourage you to do that. Come with our prayer requests. As he comes, we've got a thank you note here. It says, Pastor Metzinger and friends at Shawnee Mission Baptist Church, thank you so much for the gift of $1,000 to be used towards our fifth wheel purchase. What a blessing you have been to us. We are praising the Lord for his faithfulness and for your generosity, building for him Jeff and Esther Glazeman. And Brother Glazeman was one of those early builders that came and stayed here, I think, about a month helping us as we were building the building. And so voted to send them $1,000, help them pay off their new fifth wheel. You know, the thing about you get those vehicles, they wear out. You know, you tote them all over the country, they eventually wear out. So I'm glad that we were able to be a blessing to the Glazemans. Brother Richard?